Blog Talk Radio.
This is life. Now what's the meaning of the line? Tell me. Well, it's like dreaming of the goals, ambition. Feeling free, I'm on this mission to achieve. What's in your mind? I see what you believe you should gain. Satisfaction becomes a shining example, a test of the sample of a new race. And the answer to my positivity.
You mean flow?
Well, like electricity.
So
you see a clear way with no ambiguity, don't you know?
Well, it's another absolutely beautiful, beautiful morning here. I'm going to start off the Amina Rays broadcast acknowledging the Most High. I start off in the name of Amen, in the power and in the name of Amen, we, the solar beings, we trust, we live, we move, we breathe, and we have our being in Amen, the Most High, the Supreme Being, the Creator and the Originator of all that we see above us, in the heavens, in the galaxy, and the universe, and all that we see here of created things on this earth. My name is Sinetra Menkorays, and I'm hosting the Amina Rays thing today. And a I'm feeling pretty good this morning. You know, it's good to take a you know, do a self check, you know, do a self analysis. And then that way, you know, you set the tone. You project how it is that you are going to move forward. The name of today's broadcast is The God Family of Amen and The Matrix of Man. In my description for the show, the thought and the idea was given to me to speak about the God Family. The God Family is the foundation of all civilization. In the God Family, you have the father, the mother, and the child, and they all play their specific roles in the structure and the order of a family. This is the foundation, and this is the basis of what it is to have a family, a universal, natural order of what it is family should look like. Now, we have examples of what familyhood is, and we have examples of what the family has become. The dictates of man in society have defined families. The different roles in the families of the father, the mother, and the child are the basis of what it is that lays the successful foundation for a civilization. And what it is that society has also defined as being a family is also what it is that creates that same fall. Those things that have been defined as family that are not in the natural order of what it is that the natural law and order of what it is that a family should be, that is the first sign of a society that is on its way to being no more. It's on its way, it's on the path of destruction. Now, with the matrix of man, and notice I did not say men, I said man, because man connotates a singular person. You can also say men. Men also play into that, but there is a specific reason that Amen put it on my mind to use the singular plural as it relates to man. And we'll get into that further along, you know, in this sharing. The matrix of man is not the natural law and order of the universe. It has been the downfall of many nations. The matrix of man is an artificial construct that is devoid. It is completely out of the natural law and order of life itself. And that just does not relate to men, women, and children, but that also relates to, obviously, what species that are in nature, whether it be land animals, air animals, water animals, or waterfowl, I should say. And little, you know, microorganisms. We have to really think as possibly deep into things as our mind will allow us to go, and then go even deeper than that. Take it all the way down to the lowest commonator. Go to the atom. Go as deep as you can possibly think, because in your thinking, things will be revealed.
men and women have been given the mind, the body, and the soul, the solar power, where it is that we can evolve into coming into a ultra standing of those things of God that will allow us to be God also. In our connection to God, Amen, because Amen is the name of the one true and living God, we just have to speak the truth. Amen is revealing himself. And when it is that the God reveals himself, no man should open up his mouth and play with the fact that every single thing, every thought, every idea that we get is because it is given to us. The high intelligence of the Supreme Being gives it to those solar beings who will receive messages. And no man can say that another man, another woman, or another child cannot receive a message and that he is the only one. That is a mindset whose motive is rooted in despotism. Probably say, despotism? Really, Sinatra, you know, what the hell is that? Well, if you really want to know, I suggest you get a dictionary or Google it online like I did and get the definition. But despotism defined is the attempt. It's an attempt to exercise absolute power and control over the mind, the body, and the soul of anyone in a cruel and a oppressive manner. Okay, now, besides despotism, since we're on isms, you know, I'm going with the live Memorex, because I had a brother, and I really, really appreciate the divine wisdom that Amen shared through him to me. And what the brother said to me, and I'll give the brother's name, Brother Marshall Z, but his chosen name, how he defines himself, is Brother Jehu. He shared with me in critique of my delivery in the Amen Arrays broadcasting that when you are speaking from the soul, it should be like you're in a conversation. When you allow those things that are in your soul, those thoughts and those ideas that you are receiving from the Supreme Being and the Most High to just come through you. Now, for scientific reasons, I don't necessarily like the choice of the word flow. You know, we've always heard the saying, you know, go with the flow. Because there is a better path to take than going with the flow, because it is water that flows on the linear, you know, on the horizontal. You know, you have the horizontal and you have the vertical, you know, and there's a reason why, you know, the cross is designed with the horizontal and the vertical. But the path of choice that I choose for myself is to ascend, to go upward towards my alignment with Amen in counsel with my higher self. The higher self is our best counsel as men, women, and children, as a God family, when we are striving and seeking and going after the absolute truth. That's your best counsel, because your higher self is you. It is your Amen self. It is your God being. And it knows the path and the direction that you should be going on to satisfy, to accomplish, to be successful in whatever it is God mission of your choice. You may not necessarily have a God mission because you don't desire that. You may, you know, be content with being in the box of the matrix. You may be content with being a slave, although you may not acknowledge the fact that as someone who is being told what to do by society and its dictates, then you are in fact a slave. A slave in a box. A slave is someone who allows someone else to dictate to them the circumference of their thinking. And I know a lot of us have heard that before. We've heard that when you give your power over to someone else, then they are the one who control you. They rule over you. They tell you exactly what to do. There are a lot of other different names, you know, for slaves. You can be someone that, you know, can be called a soldier. It doesn't matter if you're a foot soldier, you know, a highly decorated soldier, you know, a medic soldier, you know. There are a lot of different titles on that particular word. And I myself, when I was in the, when I was making choices, I was at the fork in the road in the early years of my life. And I was still in the house under the rule of my mother and father, because it is the mother and the father who rules over the house. That's just natural. You know, that's universal law. You know, it is the children's responsibility when you are in a house where you have a mother and a father. And I know I keep saying mother and father, and, you know, some of you all may be out there thinking that, well, you know, everybody don't have a father in their house. Most have mothers. Not all have fathers. And in truth, Amen is putting it on my mind and say that you can have a person who is hopefully clothing and feeding you, but they may not necessarily be playing the role of a mother and a father. Instead of raising you up, instead of lifting you up, instead of encouraging you and guiding you and helping you be exposed to your higher qualities, your talents, what it is that would be your skills, and putting you on the path, you know, to your mission in life, you have some entities out there that are simply just, they're just out, you know, they're dragging children up. But that's something that falls under the matrix of men, and, you know, that's just basically what societies, the civilizations that are on the path of destruction, that are on the downfall, that's what they dictate. Now, I'm going to try not to jump all around so much. I'm going to go back to what it is that Amun had on my mind to say in regards to when it was that I myself was in my mother and father's house. And I went to my mother and father, and I said to them, you know, I think it would be a good idea to join the military. And even though I was raised in a house where the primary teaching was based upon universal law, natural law, my mother and father had the good common sense, and I am so very, very, very grateful and thankful that they did not go the route of religion. My mother and father told me when I said to them, I would like to join the military. It was my father. And my father said, you're 17 and you cannot go into the military, you know, without the consent, you know, of me and your mother. And I'm just going to tell you no. Since you're asking, I'm going to tell you. And the answer was no. My father said to me in good counsel, he said, the military is not the place for young women. I remember that. And that was very wise counsel. And then he went on to say another thing as it relates, you know, to my character. You know, your mother and your father, as a mother and a father, you know your child. You know their character. My father said, I don't know why you would want to do that. For you to be in the military, you're going to have to do what these people tell you what to do, day in, day out. He said, that's not your makeup. Because you have a mind of your own, and they're going to tell you to do something, and at some point, you're not going to want to do it, and that's going to be a problem. Because when you go into the military, you have to be able to receive instructions and follow orders, and they don't want to hear your questions about why. That was one of the most memorable counsels that I had with my father in regards to a life making decision that would have, you know, it would have changed my life. It would have, you know, altered my thinking about things as it relates to the world, as it relates to myself, as it relates to family, community, nations, and society. I received very, very wise counsel from my father that day. And that is the role of a father. The role of a father, of a father to his family, is to look out for their welfare. If you're not going to look out for the welfare of your family, then you can't, you know, call yourself a father, an example of a father, or, you know, being likened unto the image of a father. The father has a duty to make sure that not only is his family well provided for, but he should also be a manager of their affairs. He should also present a honest, where it is that he is showing through deeds, actions, and example, how it is that a father is expected to produce. He has to be the first example of that for his family. He has to make sure that the children stand that they are to respect and honor the mother in the family, and also he should be the kind of man that his woman can love, respect, and honor, and support, and be the manifestation of those thoughts in relation to where it is that his vision is going to take his family. This man has to be a man of value. He should be a man of value and a man worthy of having a family. Now, when my father gave me that wise counsel, at that particular time, you know, I had lost a battle, you know, because as a young person, you start early, hopefully, you know, thinking about if you have been, if it has been put into your mind since birth. Solar beings who have come to this planet with a mission. Now, when I say solar beings, I'm speaking in relation to those elect, chosen few who are on a mission at this particular time as we are coming into the knowledge of the true one living God, Amen, being revealed. When you go into your book, into the Bible, and it goes into the last book, you know, you hear it often, the religious people say, you know, we're living in the last days. For some, yes, it is the last days, but it is not the last days for the 144,000 elect chosen of God. I don't give a damn what no man says in his despotism, in his attempt to spread fear in the minds of people who will not think for themselves and who will not receive the messages of God for themselves. Anybody who listens to any man's plat, who has the, I would have to say, who has the nerve. As a man, the only power and control that you truly have is over your own mind, body, and soul. You don't dictate to the next God-thinking man and woman. You can dictate to a God-fearing person whose position and their role in life was to come here to be a follower, a slave, and a soldier. Yeah, you can dictate to them and lead them to believe a false lie based on the motivation of what it is that you're attempting and your sorry attempt to have something that is aside from what it is that is the universal law and nature of God. No man dictates over another man, woman, or child's soul. You don't have a right to say that you're going to be sacrificed if you're not in my organization. What kind of foolishness is that? I heard that last night. And I said to myself, wow, is the motive. And it's the same thing all around the world. It's the same song, the same as any other damn religion or organization where fear tactics are imposed on the people, to have them thinking, if you're over here with me, then you're going to receive these benefits. You are a soldier to follow instruction and order, because I'm the only one who does the thinking for this mass group of people or this little group of people that this man in his matrix is trying to hold on to. That's no different than any other quote-unquote man of a matrix of a religion, whether it be Islam, Christianity, Judaism. They have their followers who all look to them to be told what to do. And it's the same way in other organizations. The God-thinking family is free, totally, completely free. They are not under the instruction of any matrix of man, because they think for themselves. That's what the Amen God family gave us, who are solar beings. The elect chosen of God pattern themselves after the Most High God, the Supreme Being, the Universal Creator, the one who is streaming the messages and the thoughts and the ideas to the solar beings, so that we can move out on our mission, which is the gathering, the coming together of the collective where we are. And it is not under one single man whose motivation is in truth questionable. Anytime you are a public figure, everything that you do in the eyes of the public should be up for criticism. It should be up for scrutiny. And it should be able to pass that test or not pass that test. Because some people don't give a damn. They just going to do what they do. They're going to be who they are in their small minds, and they're going to think, or they're going to be in their own reality of the matrix of their own mind and how it is that they think that things should be, whether it is of the Most High or not. When I heard that particular broadcast, and I was invited to it, I got a text message, you know, I hope you're listening to the broadcast. And because it is so important to me on my mission to be in alignment with the Supreme Being, with the Creator, I have to keep my single-minded focus on those things that he reveals to me that are going to be uplifting and elevating. I also have to be able to discern those things that are not uplifting, those things that are not elevating. As a God-thinking person, that's what God does. You always have to be thinking on your own two feet, because if you don't think on your own two feet, somebody damn sure will try to take control of your mind and do your damn thinking for you, especially if you let them. The solar being has been given a moral compass You know when you're being told something and it goes against the grain of truth in your mind. You know it. The God-fearing ignore it. They don't want to hear that. If it's not in line with what it is that may hinder me from getting what I want, if it's an obstacle to me acquiring something that is more important to me than the truth, then I'm not trying to hear that. I'm not really trying to hear nothing you got to say. Because if I hear what you got to say in relation to what the truth is, and it's not a part of my programming, you know, it's not a part of what I'm all about, then I'm going to turn a deaf ear. Because you may be trying to stop me from acquiring some kind of role and some kind of position or some kind of authority or some kind of that status. Hell, it might be even on the low level. You know, you may be trying to, you know, stop me from, you know, getting what, you know, getting with some female or male that I want to be in the bed with tonight. You may be trying to block me from, you know, going through my, you know, being a player. You know, and, you know, pulling however many women I can or how many men I can pull, because that's what I'm really all about. Or you may be talking about something that's going to hinder me from making my money. You know, you saying something, you know, that is, you know, stopping me from doing what I got to do. I got to do this because I got to make these ends. I got to get that dollar. I got to be about money, 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 y'all. Or you might just be a damn freak of nature where you really, really think that you can control the mind of the God-thinking people. Yeah, you can control. You got some good talkers, good-ass con men out here. They got a talk. They got a game. They got a word. They got some play. Some serious. And they don't care, because when it comes to a person who is a self-centered individual maniac, claiming to be something that he's not, lying in the name of God, this person has a hell of a nerve. You got a whole lot of nerve. Now, Sinetra, have you not yourself fallen for the game? Yes, I have. Many, 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 many times. And when you have gone through life experience after life experience after life experience, you cannot help but to know the fake and the phony and the fraud from the real. And it don't get no realer than the one true living God. Amen. The one true living God, Amen, is revealing himself to the men, the women, and the children who are on their mission collectively. You cannot mix and separate those beings who came here on that mission. And the divine mission is the gathering of the collective. It doesn't matter who you are on the planet as it relates to you being connected to the God family of beings. Amen is putting it on my mind. You know, keep it clear. You know, keep it concise. Keep it truthful. I have to take that phrase, it does not matter who you are, because that is an incorrect statement. It does matter who you are. There are qualifying factors. You as a solar being. I, as a solar being, number one, must acknowledge the one true living God, Amen, because that's where the true power source. That is our true power source. That was one of the reasons why I began to build up in my confidence in relation to doing the Amen Arrays broadcast. My higher self kept it on my mind. So long as you know and you keep your single-minded focus on Amen, the one true living supreme being, it don't matter who accepts it or rejects it, because you know who the true source of power is. Now, going back to those qualifying factors, not only must you acknowledge the true living God, the supreme being, the creator, the most high, as being Amen, you must also be connected. You must be moving onward and forward towards connecting yourself and seeing yourself as Amen also. You're connecting to your higher self, your higher intelligence, and you're manifesting the power of what it is that a God-thinking being has the capability, the ability to do on their own. Nobody has to tell you a damn thing about what it is that you can manifest and create, because only you know that. And only you know that because you're supposed to be thinking it. And in thinking it, you're supposed to be able to manifest. Not only are you connected to your higher self, but there is also the qualifying factor of being a part of the bloodline, having the same DNA of those God beings, the God family, the Amenite family of God. Now, when I was invited to listen to this particular broadcast, there were a lot of shots taken in relation to myself and what it is that I am personally doing in regards to sharing. Okay? Now, a lot of people are not familiar with the terms of reception, receiving, transmitting. Those particular words may just have a common definition, you know, like, if you're receiving something, then you're accepting, you know, what somebody, you know, gave to you. You know, if you're in reception, you know, the common analogy, the common definition, you know, might be, you know, you are also receiving something. But the reception is called receiving because, you know, you are doing a actual process. You're engaged in a doing activity. You're focused on a particular thing, and you're going about, so to speak, basically, you know, it is a ritual. Now, when you're transmitting, you're sharing what it is that you received. And when you know that you don't have any problem doing it, you don't have to do it in a ritual format. Somebody can say something to you, and you determine right then, you know, in your thought and in your mind, or you verbally say, you know, man, I don't care what you said. I don't receive that. You can say and think what you want to. But when you're trying to define who it is that I am and what I'm doing, I'm going to be the first to let you know. I'm not going to just receive, you know, some kind of negativity, you know, that may be geared towards me just because you feel like, you know, you got the damn nerve to say it. It don't work like that. It works like that for some, but it shouldn't. Now, when I got that particular, you know, message, you know, check out the, you know, the broadcast, one of the things that I said, because in being a God-thinking person, it's absolutely necessary to keep things in perspective. When you keep things in perspective, you know, in your relation to the Supreme Being, the Most High, the God, the Creator, you cannot put God in a box. The presence of the Supreme Being, the Creator, is omnipotent. Amen is omnipresent. There is nothing on this earth realm anyway, or in the future to come, that would be able to define the completeness, the wholeness, the truth of all things as it relates to Amen. I always like this particular saying. If you were to take, you know, if the oceans and the rivers, you know, were ink, we would not be able to exhaust the words of God. You just couldn't do it. You can't live long enough to know all things that are of the nature of God. But one thing that a God-thinking person can do is they can receive the knowledge of God in all things. It doesn't matter who it comes through. We, as men, women, and children, fathers, mothers, mentors, teachers, leaders, things come through us. You know how you always have, you know, different quotations and, you know, people sign off, you know, on that quotation as it coming from someone. It came through them. That's the correct way to go about it, because every single thought, every single idea, the things that we think, the messages that we receive, the knowledge that we come into knowing, came directly from the Supreme Being. That knowledge came from the Creator. The thoughts that we have do not originate with us. They come through us, and then we manifest them. There are many beautiful manifestations of uniqueness that comes through men and women. When you come into who it is that you know you are and where it is that you see yourself going, and you start building upward on whatever it is as it relates to the science that you are going to pursue. And in my case, one of the things that have always attracted me was the universal law and order of God. And so I was giving a name from the Supreme Being, from the Creator, from the Most High Amen, through a man. And I received that name. At first, I had some problem with the name because, you know, some people, you know, in ignorance or in a lack of understanding, I have always, myself, defined myself. So for me, it's a little bit difficult, you know, to be pronounced the name upon me. And then once I began to go to my higher self, which I already had a knowledge of knowing that this is what I should do in counseling, I received my Ammonite name. Now, when I received that name, I really did not completely understand the power in my name. They have a saying, and this is not an egotistical statement. A name, a good name, is as good as gold. And or there are, you know, other things that, you know, that are said in relationship to, you know, being defined, you know, by your community or your religion or whatever the case may be. Okay, looks like I had some technical difficulties here, and I apologize for that. I don't know if anyone can hear me, but I'm going to continue on, you know, like I can be heard. Now, where I left off was in receiving my name, Sinetra Men Juarez. Those things that I had been moving towards in relation to my personal mission were the sound on a minute. Take a sip of tea here. Those things that were important to my personal mission. So that's why my name infused me with power that I needed. My name, Sinetra, is a name that is representative of counsel, a counselor. And that's one of the names that when you are going to have to, you know, go through some, appear, you know, in a court of law. Another name for a lawyer is also counselor. And or if you're in any, you know, problem or difficulty and you might need some outside counsel, you know, then you go to a counselor. You know, they help you to, you know, get on the road, you know, to sorting out thoughts. And that's one thing that I myself am very, you know, appreciative. I'm always, always, always. And the last name, Men Juarez, also. That particular name, I'm not going to go into very in-depth meanings because Sinetra means more than just counsel or counselor. The last name, Menkarez, means more than just someone who is on an eternal quest for light, for the pure light. And for the pure light of the ultra standing of who it is that is the source of that light. Purest form of anything is always going to be what it is that a God-thinking man and woman should be after. because that's where you're going to find the most power from the source. You know how it is when you go to, you know, when you get something that's pure, you know, it has the most potency. You know, it's potent with whatever it is that is its chemical makeup. Or it's potent, you know, it's a potent word. You know, it's something that hits home. It touches the mind. You know, it charges. It invigorates. You know, it uplifts the soul. Now, when I go back to the family, the God family, we talked about the role of the father. Now, we're going to talk about the role of the mother, because I am a woman. I'm a phenomenal woman. And no woman should ever be ashamed to speak on her greatness. Because if you don't see yourself as a valuable woman, as a phenomenal woman, nobody else is going to see you like that. You have to make people recognize. And it's not coming from arrogance. It's not coming from ego. It's coming from self-confidence. It's coming from the high intelligence of God. Because if we are all gods, children of the Most High God, we cannot think of ourselves as low-level entities and have no self-confidence. Those are the kind of people that mind control freaks prey on. They prey on the weak. They're always looking for someone, male or female, who reeks of a lack of self-confidence, that you can tell them anything, and they'll follow you over the cliff. Because they don't want to think for themselves. Now, with the mother, man, oh man, the mother. If there ever was a eternal role, then that would have to be the role of the mother and the woman, because there is no civilization without the mother, because you cannot come to be if you don't come through the womb of a woman or the womb of a female species. Now, I don't know what they have created in these scientific labs, but the male, he does not have the ability to birth forth children. He does not have the ability to hold the infused seed. And it is not the seed that comes from the man. It is the seed, the egg, that has been activated by the semen of the man. The semen gives the egg, or it kicks off that spark that will allow that egg to start to divide and evolve into the fetus that it is to become. Or, it sets it off in motion in the beginning stages of its life. That is why the role of the mother is a eternal role. Without her, there is no future generation. And like I said, the mother, the womb of the mother is what nurtures. It nurtures the egg that is in the beginning stages of its life. The nurturing of the mother comes from what it is that the woman intakes in her mind and what she intakes in her body, that's going to be the foundation of the makeup of that child. She doesn't need a man there to do that, but that is something that has to be done, because if it's not done, And, you know, it's funny because I got the picture in my mind, you know, of the Matrix. You know, that's really, really interesting. That picture in the scene in the Matrix where they had all these babies that were being fed. They were being nurtured by machines. And the babies were being used as sources of power. Now, it's one thing to be a, you know, to be fed so you can be utilized as a baby. I mean, no, yeah, so not utilized as a baby. It's one thing to be fed intravenously so you can be used as a battery, because that's how all those babies were being used. And then the constructs of their minds were also being used to allow for the entertainment, to keep the battery going so that the artificial intravenous feeding would create the, you know, supply the need for the battery, and then the battery itself, by its being in the Matrix in its mind, would be able to be the machine, because the machines were the actual, quote-unquote, mothers of the body of the battery, which was the baby. And the man, who they called the architect, who was a program, he was programmed by the machine. He was programmed through experience to make him what it is that he had become. So he was the architect of controlling the minds of all the other batteries. And it wasn't until the Oracle, who was also a program, but she was also the most powerful program in the Matrix. And her responsibility was to all those beings or batteries who did not know that they were under mind control so that they could continue to feed the Matrix. Now, this is a really powerful thing because it really helps people to understand the actual Matrix that they are living in, or how it is that they will be able to free themselves. When you look at the movie The Matrix, and there was a scene in there where, you know, the young kid, you know, he's all praising, you know, thank you for saving my life. I owe everything to you. And then the character turns to him and he says, I didn't save you, you saved yourself. And that is one of the most important things that relates to ourselves as a member in the God family of Amen, that only you can save yourself. Nobody but you can save you. And the only way you can save yourself is connecting to the source of power to be able to do so. That will take you on your journey, that will assist you in your thinking and give you the high intelligence that you need to move forward and onward, and to also to be able to connect with other God-thinking solar beings who are on the same path and who are on the same journey as yourself. We're out here. We're out there. And we are not to be confined by a box. We are not to be confined by the thinking of the Matrix of a man. We are to think ourselves out of the box. It's, you know, just that plain and simple. It can't be put, you know, any simpler. And with the role of the mother, as it relates to her nurturing, she's responsible for being in counsel with the father and being in harmony, his vision, for how it is that he desires to move their family forward. Because you only get so many years, you know, with the children before they go on to connect with where it is that they're going to be headed down the road. Some receive good counsel and some do not. That's just, you know, plain and simple. That's just, you know, the truth of the matter. And if it is that you have not been given a foundation, came here to this planet with a mission, because many of us come here with a mission that we come into, and once we come into our mission, we know it. We move out in power on that mission. And it doesn't matter what nobody says. It doesn't matter what the next man says or what he thinks, or the next woman, what she says and what she thinks, or what society thinks, or what government thinks. When you know you have found your mission and you're on your mission, there is nothing or no one that can stop you from that. Especially when you are connected to the source, when you're connected to the God family, are connected to the God family, you also have a example. Now, before I go into the God family as being a example, I'm going to also speak on the role of a child. I already mentioned, you know, that the one of the scriptures, you know, a child of God, who is a child. Okay, we are children of God, the children of the Most High God. Okay, that's it. I got it. Now, in one of those scriptures, there was also another statement, and that statement related to someone else on the planet that was being acknowledged for not being a child of God. And what they were told is, you are of your father, Satan or the devil, and of his works, that's what you do. Now, we're not into spookism or spiritism or, you know, painting images, you know, that are not true. Because in truth, man is both. Man is both God, and man is also Satan or the devil. That is the truth. There is no spookified image, you know, of an unseen, you know, entity or spirit that has power or control over you, running around here with a red suit and horns and a pitchfork, you know. But if that's what you engage your mind with, if that's what you're programmed with, you know, then, you know, you probably are terrorized by that, and you probably are in fear of that. And there is no, you know, blonde hair, Caucasian, straight hair, Jesus coming back, floating on the clouds, as most have been taught in the different religions of Christianity. You know, what it is that the Israelites, you know, believe in. You know, what it is that they also believe in Islam. There is no such thing as a spook who is out there who has the ability or the capability to help or hurt you. Within ourselves, we have the capacity to be God or to be the opposer of God. Because Satan and the devil, that sounds spooky. You either are God or you are a opposer. You are a opposer of the God force, the God thinking, the God power. And or you're nothing. You just are. You know, you're just existing. You don't have no thoughts, no ideas, except for what is fed to you, like you are a battery. Like it is that, you know, most of us have seen it. You know, we saw the episode in The Matrix. I watch that movie often because, of course, you know, the character of the most importance to me who had the most power was the black woman, the Oracle. And she had many faces because there are many, many faces of us. And as women, we are given a responsibility that we must stand up to, which is being counselors and teachers and nurturers. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had two things. One of them was this: where there are no decent women, there are no decent men. Very, very, very profound statement. Because if you don't have a decent woman as your first teacher, then how far do you really expect to go? There are many decent women who have had the responsibility to endure on their own, especially among us as black people. She had to do it. She had to make it happen. She had to do the role of the father and the mother. And she also had to make sure that the child was taught. She had to do it all. Because that's something that, you know, science, let's see here. That's something that, not science, society. It is society that has dictated, and it is the reason why society is on a downfall because of the dictates as it relates to defining the roles of those who are in the family and also separating the mother from the father. And or I should say, separating the father from the children and the mother from the children and separating the man from the woman. And a lot of us have allowed this. In some cases, I know for myself, I take full blame and responsibility, you know, for the experience that I've had in my life. And I saw how it is that being raised by a mother and father, you know, there is a difference. It makes a world of difference when you have both parents in your house to raise the children. Now, when society says that not only is it okay for the woman to depend on society to help her raise her children, not only is it okay for a woman to keep a man from playing a role of father to his children, but it's okay for that man to be put in a position where he has to pay or be jailed. Now, some of us may say, well, hell, if you don't provide and take for the and care for the children that you brought here, then you should be paying. Well, in truth, you should be doing both. You should be doing whatever it is that you can do to provide, not just monetarily, but as the role of a father who's going to help to evolve and guide and set especially a man-child on his path, on his journey in life, and on his mission. That is of great importance. Those things cannot be, you know, those things, you know, cannot be, you know, just excused. That's why society is on the path of destruction that it's on. We have not really been thinking about the roles of the God-thinking family. Now, as it relates to our children, I spoke about the role of the father. I spoke about the role of the mother. As it relates to these children, children have a responsibility also. You know, the scripture says in the Bible, children, obey your parents in all things, because this is what is pleasing to the Lord. But it also says, fathers, and we can add mothers to that too, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Children come here with a clean slate. And when it is that they are exposed, when it is that they see examples of things, these are the things that they pattern themselves after. These are the things that they later on become. And a lot of children have been discouraged in their younger years. They've just been led down or given an example or put in certain situations, you know, that set them up for failure in the future years to come, as opposed to being put on a divine path, being put on a journey that is going to take them to their higher self, and that is going to help empower them in their mission. I think about these children that are coming here today. These children that are coming to here today are very powerful. They are a totally new breed, and they have been given or being defined, you know, by these names. We have heard some of these names, you know, some of the names that have been given to them, you know, are indigo children. And if indigo children, from what it is that I have learned about them, you know, they have a warrior spirit. They already come here knowing their mission, and a part of their mission and how they're going to be working out in their mission and how they see themselves is to make a change in the world. They come here questioning things and examining, and, you know, they come here with a different mind, already knowing things. They already intuitively know they are gifted from the time they come here. And then you also have these children that they call crystal children. You know, you would see mothers, or primarily it would be grandmothers, they would look at a child, and, you know, they would be like, this child been here before, you know. Or, and as the child grows, and it's like, you too grown for your own good. Or if the child appears to be, you know, a highly intelligent child, you know, they'll say that that particular child is wise beyond their years. You can see it by looking into their eyes. They say that the eyes are the windows to the soul. And when you look at these children, you know that these children are gifted. And they, you know, they put a label on them. You know, they call them crystal children. And then you have another children that they're defining today as calling a star seed. These children they define as being, you know, feeling alone, or, you know, not really belonging, you know, to the family that they were born into. You know, they are similar, you know, to the Christo and the Indigo children, where they also have a warrior soul, but I want to correct that and put in their soul. But they also have a sense of purpose for their soul, because I have to make that correction and stay along the line of truth. The solar being, the collective of the solar being, this is not about, you know, a sister, you know, Sinetra Mencarez, you know, just on the blog talk broadcast, just speaking so she can hear herself talk. This is about a sharing together for the collective of the solar beings, men, women, and children, and sharing what it is that Amun is revealing to us. We all who have a voice, we all who have a pen hand, we all who have a gift, should be sharing that gift. And as God thinking, not God fearing, we should be shouting the name of Amun to the rooftop, because the mission and the purpose is to collect that 144,000 elect chosen beings who are going to see themselves into the future, who are moving onward and forward with the ability to manifest all the things that the Agamemnon family is going to make new here on the earth. If you're not within that number, you're not going to make it. But nobody else can dictate to you, you know, if you are or if you're not. That's something that's strictly between you and Amun. That is between you and the God. It's just that simple. It is really truth, just that simple. Now, when I reflect on the mission that Amun gave me, a lot of times people, when they are coming into their mission, they're not always going to be able to comprehend the magnitude, you know, of that mission. So we all come into the knowledge and the understanding of things that we are going to, you know, pursue, and how we're going to engage ourselves in this mission. And you don't put limitations on the higher self as it relates to how it is that you can manifest the things of the power of the Amun family of beings in this world. Because in your connection to the Amun family, you can always go inward to your thought and inward to your soul. And you can always deal, you know, on a mind and body level, as you are understanding the capabilities of what it is that you have the ability to do. But those things come in stages and degrees. They come in, you know, different levels. They come through going, you know, up the ladder, you know, in grades. And they also come through, you know, ascending and descending the ladder of life. You can find yourself, you know, on the lower rung of the ladder, and, you know, you can start to climb, and, you know, next thing you know, hopefully it doesn't happen too often, and hopefully it's not to your detriment, you know that you miss a rung, you miss a step, and you fall off that ladder, and you fall down, and you have to dust yourself off and get back on it, get back on there, get back on that horse, get back on your path, get back on your journey. Keep going towards the higher part of yourself. And now I want to say thank you and acknowledge the Most High Being, the Supreme Creator, Amen. I think what I'm going to need to do, what I would like to do for myself, is thank everyone. I want to say peace to the gods and goddesses. There's only 1 minute left, and I'm going to close out in the name and in the power of the Almighty Supreme Being. Amen. We trust, we live, we breathe, we move, and we have our being. And I myself, I am a appreciative, thankful being. Thank you for listening. May you have a most powerful, soul-elevating day.
I don't wanna write this down. I don't wanna tell you how I feel right now. I don't wanna take no time to write this down. I don't wanna tell you how I feel right now. Hey, tomorrow may never come for you or me. Life is not a problem. Tomorrow may never show up.
Sometimes I get discouraged. I look around and